Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM on a Friday afternoon. 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or both basement walls. The experts from AquaGuard can provide a free inspection. If you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors, visit AquaGuard.net. Hey, don't forget, less than 100, as we told you. I think now we're under the number 90. Green cards are left. It went on sale this morning. Your chance for you or someone close to you as a gift to play six of the area's best courses. It's one low price of $249, and that includes a cart plus a $25 Fire Maker Brewing Company gift card. $249 to play with a cart. Cherokee Run, Bears Best, Heritage Golf Links, Collins Hill, Sequoia National, Wolf Creek Golf Club as well. That's a value of over $600, $607 to be exact.
And that's without tax.
Right.
And you do get a golf cart. They're not making you hump around a golf course. You're getting a golf cart, right?
And yes, once they're gone, they're gone. So hurry up and go to 680thefan.com right now.
I almost want to give something away to somebody who buys one or can prove they bought one during the show today. I don't know if I'm allowed to. I don't feel like getting scolded. I think I told you I'm in the pay it forward part of my career.
I understand that.
I'd like to be out of the scolded part of my career.
You gave away the Braves, brought us a nice gift box for opening day last Friday. You gave that away, did you not?
Did. Yeah.
I would have given mine away as well. The problem is, you know, I got 15-year-olds all over the house, and they'll whatever's free, it's for them. If it's free, it's for me. No, it's for them. It's not me anymore.
Yeah, I'm living in a different world.
You're an empty nester now.
Yeah, if I truly believed my kids wouldn't care that much, then I'm not bringing something home for my kids. The T-shirt wouldn't have wowed them. So why play the game? Oh, which one of you is my favorite this week? I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, you like to talk to a lot of people that played the game and represented the game and influenced the game each and every Saturday at 8 o'clock. It is the Chris Domino Hardball Show.
Let me say this.
I didn't quite get that.
And we also have...
I heard these...
Can you speak up a little louder?
I'm trying.
It's
the Ray Giudice Hardball Interview of the Week.
Can't hear you.
Ray Giudice Hardball Interview of the Week.
Okay.
Don't play it.
Bye-bye now.
No, don't go anywhere yet. We haven't started talking yet.
He can go away. He went officially bye-bye. That's Don Larson. He passed away.
Beg pardon?
Yeah, no. I heard them doing this in the back, and I knew it was going to happen. I didn't need you playing.
I didn't know it was going to happen, but
I didn't need you playing.
Can't help myself sometimes.
I was hoping he'd hit one button, but then the idiot had five.
Because I didn't quite get that.
Seven now. Now we're up to seven. Seven times they decided to besmirch Don Larson.
But this is why I say once you hit a certain age, you have to tape the interviews. You tape that interview, case in point. That could have gone over the air live. Not something you needed or he needed.
Well, again, we would have gotten around it. It doesn't matter. So here is the Ray Giudice interview of the week. In 2001, might have been the first one I ever taped. First one. It's 2000. First one I ever taped. Marvin Miller, who became the first president of the Players Association. So 24 years ago, what's the same and what's not in regards to this?
Now, let me ask this as a simple yes or no. Is arbitration the worst thing to ever happen in the minds of most owners?
I don't know how to answer that. They view salary arbitration, which is a separate procedure and a separate mechanism, they view that as one of the worst things that ever happened to them. And it would not surprise me if their feeling is that arbitration of grievances also is one of the most terrible things that happened to them.
24 years later.
How hated was that guy by the owners?
Oh, he didn't get into the Hall of Fame for a long time, and people thought he was a snake oil salesman, except he wasn't. He set a lot of things in motion. Players, again, Kurt Flood, Marvin Miller, kiss the ring, kiss the ass, whatever it is, because they totally changed how players are going to be. We talked, I'm just telling you, it's pretty interesting because there's one part where he starts to explain what the old system was. They had you until the day you died on a one-year deal if they wanted. Till the day you died. That's not an exaggeration. So he was an interesting guy to talk to. We'll have a chance to play that tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. Each and every week, you got the Ray Giudice interview of the week. Chris Domino's Hardball during the baseball season at 8 o'clock. The Braves are back in action tonight. 7:10 first pitch here on The Fan. The series begins down in Miami against the Marlins. The Ford leadoff show at 5:55. And let's hope we see the real Max Fried tonight facing Trevor Rogers, because after this series against the Mets, you can use the rest if you're the bullpen. You can really use the rest.
Yeah, this is a bad thing, though, tonight. Because, you know, we need Max Fried to be better, but he's going up against Captain America, and that's...
that's Steve Rogers.
What's that?
Right? Not Trevor Rogers.
Oh, well, that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
You and I have the next couple of... I don't have the next couple of days off. You do. On Monday, do you think you're going to come back? Or let's do this. Let's play it like Prize Picks. More or less text you send me over the next 3 days with Braves games, thoroughly disgusted, and... a text that I couldn't read on the air.
I'm going to say less, because the Marlins are terrible and the Braves are going to right the ship. I believe in Max Fried coming back, Chris Sale. Charlie Morton,
so my number
makes me a little nervous. He always has.
My number was going to be 3.5. 3.5 texts that I would not be able to read on the air.
So the over-under?
I'm going to go
under.
More or less. More or less. You're going less.
I am
going to
go less, yeah.
I don't feel that. Because it's going to be the third inning of a game like tomorrow afternoon where you're just going to have to get something off your
chest. If Tyler Matzik has one more outing like he had yesterday, I think a visit to the injured list is going to happen.
Okay.
That's what
that
I think
there.
He's going to do. He just needs a reset. That's not bad. That's just fact.
No, that wouldn't fall into my category if I wouldn't read that on the air. I think the number is 3.5 texts that I could not read on the air over the course of this weekend about the Atlanta Braves.
Now, Alan Winans, I think his family's disappointed in him. He's disappointed in himself because now, as you said to start the show, it's back of the line.
Feels that.
That's where Alan Winans is right now. Got sent down, and now it's Darius Vines. He got called up.
Next.
It's his turn right now. I don't want to see this merry-go-round.
I have a vision in my head, and it's like a waiting room of all these guys who are going to get a chance. Next. Take a number at the DMV. Next. And then some guy is going to stick. God, I hope, sooner instead of later.
And you hope that guy is going to be Bryce Elder, who has turned things around down there at AAA. 2.61 ERA. Opponents are only hitting 211 over the course of his first two starts. 11 strikeouts and 3 walks. Those are your well-star, well-stats of the day. From managing chronic conditions to staying on top of screenings, the experts at Wellstar will partner with you to help you feel your best together. We can create a personalized game plan to help keep you healthy. Wellstar.org is where you need to go. Wellstar, more than healthcare. People care.
At what point, I want to go back to one other thing. At what point do you realize you're a terrible gambler? Not that the bookie is going to stop you. At what point do you know these numbers?
Are you talking about Ippei Mitsuhara?
Or I'm talking about anybody who basically, you want to average 19, if you want to make 19,000 bets between December 2021 and January 2024, that's 25 bets per day. And thank God he won $140 million. Because he lost $40 million.
Well, the more you bet, it's like the bullpen door swinging open. The more you bet, the less the chance you have of winning.
25 bets a day. That unto itself is the sucker play of all sucker plays. I don't know what you think you know. International soccer? Obviously not so much. I'm trying to figure out how the hell did he win $140 million of these bets? Now, bad news, he lost $180 million. He kept getting bump and bump and bump to the credit line. He was able to keep going.
We'll hear from Martin Estrada, the head attorney, the prosecutor in the case, in a second. But these details, I mean, we say this all the time. If this was a script, no one would buy the script.
Oh, it's going to be.
It's not real.
It's going to be at some point. It's going to be at some point. For nothing else, I want the scene where he calls the bank on the phone.
So he essentially was more than an interpreter. He was Shohei Ohtani's assistant. Drove him places, helped him out, you know, getting the dry cleaning, what have you. And because his English, Ohtani, was limited, he accompanied Ohtani to a bank to translate and help him open an account for his major league paycheck. So there's your access. And as you said, nearly 20,000 bets placed between December of 21 and January of 2024. So as Chris said, he's not exaggerating. The simple math would tell you that's roughly 25 bets per day he was placing.
Do you have to excuse yourself 25 times from being around people? Or is it just, maybe it was electronic and he's
Chris,
just
more than a
numbers.
Bet an hour. There's 24
yes,
hours in a day.
That's
so
correct.
He was betting more than
correct.
Once an hour on average. He also impersonated Shohei Ohtani during a phone call with the bank.
Bank fraud.
Changed contact info on bank account sheets.
Bank fraud.
And did that to complete a $300,000 wire transfer.
30 years bank fraud. That's one of the sentences hanging over his head. I don't know what he's going to say guilty to. I don't know what kind of plea deal they're going to work out. I don't know if he's going to. I didn't do that one. That one I didn't do. I don't know. But it went from $4.5 million
this is
to numbers
exhausting.
Like $140, $180 million, $40 million, stole $16
million. I mean, just reading this is exhausting.
It's like being, I'm telling you, it reads like a guy in a cocaine binge. When you get so tired, you just, I'll do more cocaine. You're bleary-eyed. You can't stop yourself. Everything bad that can happen to you. I don't know if he's going to claim. Do you think at any point he claims he was on substances? Do you think at any point he tries to bring anything else into this?
You have to save yourself, right?
Here's the most damning part, besides the fact that he could go away. Did I read correctly that Ohtani's agency does not have or did not have anybody who speaks Japanese? Did I read that?
I didn't see that. Not saying you're wrong. I'm just telling you I didn't see that, which seems impossible.
It seems impossible.
This whole thing seems impossible.
Well, that's the point. Who is the, like, if you're standing there at a bank and you don't speak very good English, I think that sentence might not be very good English. I don't know. If you're standing there and you think you're telling your interpreter, oh, tell them, yes, this is my account, I'm in charge of it. And your interpreter says, yes, this is his account, and I'm in charge of it. Like, do you?
So maybe it's Shohei Ohtani's fault.
Well, I'm just saying
something literally got lost in translation.
I mean, do you think he was blatant enough to do that right in front of him?
I state your name. I don't know. I have no earthly idea.
And I listen, I brought up the Billy Joel thing. I heard Colin Cowherd. I don't know if you're pimping for MLB. I don't know if it's a Fox deal. I have no idea. You're on record now as saying Ohtani's in the clear. Thank God this proves that. Really?
I'm not willing to say that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Here is the U.S. Attorney, Martina Estrada.
Our investigation has revealed that due to the position of trust he occupied with Mr. Ohtani, Mr. Mitsuhara had unique access to Mr. Ohtani's finances. Mr. Mitsuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to take advantage of Mr. Ohtani. Mr. Mitsuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to plunder Mr. Ohtani's bank account to the tune of over $16 million.
Just got love serious that
word.
There, man.
I love that word.
He didn't skim. He plundered.
You're a plunderer is what you are.
Right.
That's going to add 10 years to your sentence because you're a plunderer. It's like, sounds like something out of Seinfeld.
Yeah, I think there must
He's
be
a plunderer!
I think there must be a number when you go from a guy who stole to a bona fide plunderer.
The average wager, as you said, Chris, just under $13,000. Biggest bet, $160,000.
They said he made $10 bets, which is hilarious at that point. It's I know gamblers. I know you just want action. $10 bets when a guy is in for $40 million in losses. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. To me, the next big thing is this guy's got a lawyer up. And if he can't afford one, one is going to be appointed to him. What's he want to say guilty to? That's the game changer. If he says, I did it all, okay?
Now,
then you don't really need a trial. You need a sentencing.
So far, he has thrown himself on the sword.
Yeah.
Let's see if that changes.
I never make $10 bets. How dare you?
Don't insult me. I don't know to that tune, but we'll see if he says that Shohei Ohtani was a little more involved than he was willing to let on.
Hey, look over your right shoulder real quick. Everybody becomes America's guest at Augusta. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting down with Laura Rutledge, who, again, there's a football. By the way, you know Laura Rutledge, I think, is coming on next week?
I didn't know that.
She was fantastic yesterday. I'm not kidding. I was watching
it. She says this is a dream come true for her, covering the Masters for ESPN.
Well, I put it out there, and she liked the tweet and then followed me, and we've DM'd.
Does your wife know this?
No. She followed me, which gave me an opportunity to say, hey, she said she wanted to come on the show.
All right.
On Twitter. You didn't watch yesterday between 1 and 3. She's a really good host. Like, and I mean this. You and I, and me maybe more than you, you kill people in a different way. You do punch down. I like to think I punch kind of down, mostly eye level.
Right.
We do make fun of a lot of people who have these jobs. We do say they're not very good at it.
We make fun of everybody, including ourselves.
But so when somebody's good at it, shouldn't it also be mentioned?
Yeah.
She was really good at it.
Well, that's when you know that you're really sincere about something, because you're not just going to say that.
That's right.
For the sake of saying it.
Right.
Again, you've never said about me.
No.
So Well, I'm still working for that, though.
Laura Rutledge is a better host than you right now.
Like Brent Key said, it has to be at about 6.5. You can't say 10 out of 10 because then you're never getting better. And that's what you're trying to motivate me to do. Just get better every day.
Right. I hope so. I think we started a little bit of a controversy, according to Matt Edgar, about the whole going to Ireland thing.
All right, we'll cover that.
I don't even want to go to Ireland. Like, if we get invited, I'll go to Ireland, but I'm not begging for it.
We'll cover that and explain that when we come back, because we'll talk about the trip to Ireland. We'll also talk about nothing really being private for this dog. The word private doesn't exist for him as
he
gets ready.
Private matter needs to stay private.
Not for him as he gets ready for the NFL. All of that and more as we go on campus next here on Cellini and Domino. It's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
FM, 1 o'clock hour, brought to you by AquaGuard Foundation Solution.
Is subtlety a lost art?
I don't think there's anything subtle about O.J. Simpson passing away yesterday at the age of 76 and why we're playing these songs.
O.J.'s innocent.
Some do feel that way, and that's up to you. That's, like I said earlier, a debate for another time. I don't feel that way. Chris doesn't feel that way, but maybe you do.
God, I hope there's something else that comes out, that O.J. left us a little something. There's a movie, I don't know if it's
You did
context.
Ask him, will he confess on his deathbed, and maybe he did.
I don't know if I'm being bamboozled. Somebody told me this morning that there might have been NDA signed by even family members, perhaps. I don't know if that's true or not. It's a good story. I think it's the movie Contact. Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey. And we find out at the end, sorry, the movie's old enough, that an old rich guy put himself up in a space. And he sent, he taped something maybe before he died from up in space. I don't know, something like that. You don't think O.J. maybe just did he's got a little vault of stuff. He's going to leave clues and hints, and he's going to have one big final reveal. I did it. From the great beyond, he could still blank with people.
Because he did put forth a series of videos once he joined the X platform. Maybe that was one of his videos that he was saving for the very, very, very end.
I found out finally in context. Remember the clip that we saw where he knocks on what looks like a hotel room door and he's got a banana and he starts stabbing a person? That was a woman who did an interview where supposedly it wasn't supposed to be brought up or something. And then he said, I'll do this. And they videoed it. Him fake stabbing this woman. I think it might have been a banana. I don't know if it was a real knife.
It was a banana.
Bananas. Yes. Okay. So he was willing to do that. Why wouldn't he be willing? Maybe, listen, my time is short. I'm going to get a few things off my chest.
I just see him popping up like Willie and or Carl did in Ghost. And he says, my knee feels good. You're dead, O.J. And then the villains.
Oh, no.
Or the, they come and drag him off.
I was going to be
the evil spirits.
I was going to be a part of not being subtle this morning. I almost played Who Am I Theater. And I was going to have the sound of like a fire burning crackling wood. I'm O.J. But I didn't think I wanted to do that. Some people don't believe in hell. And some people, I don't know who would get it.
I don't know if
that's
down the hall. Yeah, that qualifies as down the hall, but yeah, maybe it does. Tiger's worst nightmare has become a reality. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes.
The College Football Voice of the South is going on campus. Presented by Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth. Or shop online at SubaruofGwinnett.com.
Wanted to give everybody a quick update on some of the stories surrounding college football and basketball.
Fill me in. What's out there?
Well, trying to coach. Brock Bowers had a private workout yesterday with at least 15 NFL teams. But like we said, when you're Brock Bowers, nothing's really private. The results come out. Carson Beck was throwing the passes. And I guess he ran a 4-5. 3.53 40, which would have been last year's second fastest among all tight ends. Bill Polian thinks the Chargers should take him at number five. He thinks that Brock Bowers could have the type of impact that Sam Laporta did for the Lions last year as a tight end, as a rookie tight end, to be exact.
Okay. All right, every once in a while you come up with a gem. Now, five, you better be good. Five, you better be really good. But if you want Justin Herbert to have another toy, and your Jim Harbaugh, what's crazy is your Jim Harbaugh likes the running game. We do know that. But giving a quarterback who's thrown for a lot of yards but hasn't had success, giving him a tight end or whatever the hell he's going to be called in the NFL, I guess it makes sense. It just seems high. It just seems high. Because we're, you know why? Because we're dealing with the Kyle Pitts at four thing. So there's recency and position thing with us that you go, five is really high for a tight end.
And Chris Lowe from ESPN, we talked about Carson Beck throwing passes to Brock Bowers yesterday at his private workout, put together a really long article on ESPN.com about Carson Beck being low-key, being a guy that is always on an even keel. And included in the article was the fact, in case you forgot, Carson Beck was an early enrollee in 20. You know what the quarterback room was in 20? JT Daniels, Jamie Newman, Stetson Bennett, and DeJuan Mathis. How many of those names lasted? Just one, and even he left for a while and came back in Stetson Bennett. That's how quickly things turn over now, and that was, what, 4 years ago? It's even more severe now, more prominent and prevalent now.
Well, again, a lot of people wouldn't know the names of the backup quarterbacks at the University of Georgia. We do because we're here, but a lot of highly regarded individuals have been in and around Carson Beck for the last 4 years.
And Carson Beck was supposed to be the starter back in 21 for that UAB game. Had a bad week of practice, allegedly, reportedly. If we ever talked to Carson Beck, we got to ask him about that. Did you leak that story out? Because that was the rumor. He started telling people when Kirby didn't want him to tell anybody that he was going to start that week. And that was a part of the reason why Stetson Bennett got the start. Stetson Bennett went off in that game, threw five touchdown passes, and the rest, as they say, is history.
We just had Kirby a couple weeks ago. I forgot all about that part of it. Did we not?
I'm not sure how he would have answered that question, but I think it's a fair question to ask, right?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, gosh. Well, look, there's a lot of rumors about a lot of things. Here's how you do it. You take the thumb off in the beginning. Hey, Kirby, can we play a quick round of fact or fiction? Seriously. Because everybody
just
likes
to get to
play,
the bottom of things.
Everybody likes to play fact or fiction. And he would know, he would be one of the few that would know if it was fact or fiction. Remind me the next time. Hey,
okay.
Remember, let's play fact or fiction with Kirby.
Fact or fiction with Kirby the next time we talk to him. Teddy Knox is an SMU wide receiver. He's been suspended. Why? Well, he was the other driver in that crash that involved Rashee Rice of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What did I just tell you about SMU? It's kind of crazy. A couple of weeks ago, I said SMU is going to run this like an NFL franchise. So be aware that SMU is going to collect money and they're going to pay a lot of good players. That's a bad moment for them.
So Knox was driving the Corvette, and as we know, Rice was driving the Lamborghini. Rice turned himself into police.
It's a lot of counts.
I don't believe the other has turned himself in yet.
Do we know? I don't know. I can't keep up with what is the NFL probably going to do. I don't remember what it is that gets you 2 games or 6 games. Like, if you gamble, I know what happens to you. You lose $11 million.
He's going to get suspended.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Do we have a precedent for...
So he was arrested...
6 games, 10 games? I don't know.
For one count of aggravated assault, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, and 6 counts of collision involving injury. As he turned himself in, and like we said, an arrest warrant was issued for Teddy Knox. I don't know if he turned himself in or not, but that's what's going on there. Texas linebacker Samaj Burrell, he's been identified as the driver of the other vehicle that hit the Ford Bronco being driven by Tavondre Sweat that overturned on Sunday morning.
Oh.
He's been suspended by Steve Sarkisian. This is the problem that you have, and we talked to Kirby about this, and Kirby has said it. With NIL, you got kids driving cars, and I know they're young adults, but you still have the mentality of a 16-year-old when you're driving a car like this for the first time, especially.
Well, we also say that just because we hear about all the stuff going on in Athens, it doesn't mean it's not going on around the country.
Case in point.
It has to be headline for us to hear about it, but I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, driving incidents, driving without a license, suspended license. You left the scene of an accident. I guess this is happening all over the place.
And I think either Burrell or Sweat's dad is a police officer. And if it's Burrell's dad, he left the scene. And I think right away went home and told his dad. I'm sure his dad was really happy with him as a police officer. Just thrilled with him.
People have asked, what would you do? Would you take the hit for your kid?
He didn't.
No, I don't. What hit would you like me to take? I love my children. What hit would you like me to take? You can't hide stuff like this forever. Something's going to happen where you're going to get tripped up. You might as well, what is it we say? We'll face it sooner instead of later.
John Calipari has officially signed that five-year deal. He called the Hogs, and it was very, very awkward, to say the least. And he said, I met with the team. Well, there is no team, actually.
He has one player, I think.
It was him with a couple of assistants, maybe the AD.
Sam Pittman showed up.
In the locker room calling the Hogs. It was, like I said, awkward to say the least. You want to talk about awkward? It looks like that Mark Pope, who was on the 96 national championship team, coached by Rick Pitino at Kentucky, is their new head coach. And this is Rick Pitino at his office at St. John's, I'm assuming, offering this to the Kentucky program.
Mark Pope, offensively, no one does it better. Mark Pope will go on to greatness. You can put it down. Well, I can guarantee you one thing. Nobody epitomizes the name Kentucky on the front of the jersey more than Mark Pope. I know I sit here today at St. John's, and I couldn't be any more prouder than to see Mark Pope lead the Kentucky Wildcats to another championship.
He also said he's going to cut a check. I will cut a check to the Kentucky program. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about you.
But if I'm St. John's?
Yeah, and or Booster there, I'm saying, whoa. Yeah. Wait a minute now. Let's slow down here, coach.
I think you said we have to be better around here. You're sending your money over to them?
You see my MEGA office. I'm going to take the time, instead of worrying about my MEGA surroundings. I look like a peasant here, and I'm going to help out Mark Pope at Kentucky.
Coach,
awkward to say the least.
Coach, we would like to buy a forward for ourselves. Why would you send that money over to Kentucky? That's what I would ask.
Of course.
Thank you. And I do remember this. Look, I have no idea. I knew enough about Billy Donovan because I had read enough about Billy Donovan. We knew a little bit about him before he took the Florida job. We said, hey, it's kind of interesting. I don't know how many guys turned this down. I don't know what number they went to where they might have just said, let's just go to somebody who's going to take it. But Rick Pitino said nobody's better offensively in the country than Mark.
Nobody does it better.
Makes me feel sad for the rest.
Well, it must be really difficult because did he win a tournament game?
He's never won a tournament game.
And he's the best at it.
Went to the tournament two times in 4 years at BYU.
He's the best at it.
Never won a tournament game. Hey, he's got a bunch of Mormons running around. What do you want?
I couldn't be any more prouder.
Prouder, I don't even know if that's a sentence.
Within this talk, he kind of shot down y'all's theories of, well, it took Jay Wright this long to get to an NCAA. It took Billy Donovan this long. So you got to give Mark Pope his chance, even though you're saying he hasn't won one yet.
Yeah, that's fine. He just said he's the best in the country at something.
Patience is a virtue.
If you're the best in the country at anything, you win once. That's all I'm saying.
Mark Pope will go on to greatness. You can put it down.
He can't help himself. And by the way, more prouder. I think
around
more proud.
I'll eat a bug.
Did he use the word proud? He said more prouder?
I don't know. He was on a roll.
More proud, I think. I don't know, though. Maybe. I don't know. As I sit here at St. John's.
And I couldn't be any more prouder.
Any more proud.
If I was, I'd burst.
Any more proud.
I'd explode all over that fancy camera that you're shooting me on.
All right. Good luck to everybody. I just don't know if Mitch Barnhart said, please, for the love of God, find me somebody who's going to say yes.
No one does it better.
Scott Drew said, we like it here in Waco. I'm going to stay here at Baylor.
Somebody put a headline out, and I don't know if I agree with this. They said instead of building a statue of Dan Hurley, they should put one of his wife, Andrea, up because she supposedly said for $20 million a year, I'm not going to Kentucky.
What are you, crazy? I ain't going down there.
Dan Hurley said that she won't go south of New Jersey. That's a funny line. I don't know if it's true or not. But
when
somebody,
you think New Jersey and you see her, New Jersey definitely comes
to mind. As far south as she's going to go.
Yeah, it fits.
Did I tell you about the stores, their Chamber of Commerce website?
No.
Yeah, in stores every month, there's just like a Chamber of Commerce website. So they must honor a business in stores every month. Barnes & Noble was the, I just looked. Barnes & Noble is the company of the month, according to the people. My point is.
Hey, you got books as far as the eye can see.
It seems quaint is what I'm telling you when you have that on your website. His wife should get the first statue is the point. His wife should get the first statue, then Dan. And Dan Hurley's going to have a statue.
Of course he is.
Yeah, I don't know if Connecticut does.
I don't know if Tiger Woods has a statue any place. He's one over through 10 today. He's got to play 23 holes today. We talked about it yesterday with the weather and the late tee time and everything surrounding seemingly at least one round of the Masters, and yesterday was that day. This was going to be Tiger's worst nightmare with the ankle and the leg.
I heard every day.
Back, and he said that prior to anything. 23 holes in a day. Let's see how he feels tomorrow morning waking up.
And he's not carrying himself like the jovial Tiger Woods that we've seen at times.
My theory is if he makes the cut, he's going to withdraw. He wants that record for the consecutive cuts.
I totally agree, like he did last year.
Can I say this, though, and I don't bang on Tiger. It's not,
I don't blame him for that.
No, but do you still get the record if you withdraw?
Yeah, you made the cut.
I understand, but
you still made the cut.
In my world, I know it technically.
There's no red tape here.
In my world, should you not have to play the next round?
And the projected cut line is +3. So as of right now, he is +1.
I'm a little
he
distracted.
Make the cut.
I think I can get one more.
What's that?
I think I can get one more.
That's his mindset right now. Max Homa is your leader at 7 under par.
I'm a little distracted. Turn around.
I'm seeing it. It's on my television. The Masters coverage. We had Ryan Fitzpatrick sitting down with Laura Rutledge earlier.
He had the funny green hat on.
Now it's Rex Ryan. Why is he wearing
a Lions shirt?
I don't know.
He's got a Lions shirt.
He's got an Augusta hat on.
Yeah, he doesn't match anywhere.
No, and that makes me nervous as well.
Who didn't tell him to put on a pair of pants? Now, I don't want to talk about Jason Day's pants. I don't really care.
Parachute pants?
I want to talk about Sergio Garcia's goofy outfit.
The bigger pants are coming back. That's what I heard. The skinny jeans are going to be out. The bigger pants are
good,
coming back.
Good, hope I have a bunch of them. I used to wear parachute pants. But who didn't tell Rex Ryan to put on a pair of pants? Seriously.
Maybe.
Who let him leave the house looking like this?
Maybe he didn't know he was going to be on television when they grabbed
you're
him.
You're Rex Ryan, whether you're on television or not. Why would you go around looking like this?
Like a Don in the world of organized crime.
He shouldn't have shorts on.
A one-time or current head coach in the NFL should never wear shorts. Okay. I understand that theory.
George Allen should have been the last guy to wear shorts. If you know, you know. Coach's shorts. This guy, he looks like a hobo. He looks like a guy they took off the street, Rex Ryan. He looks good on TV. He wears suits.
Mm-hmm.
Got his nice new face.
Very beautiful feet.
And he goes to Augusta looking like this, like a bum.
On the set right now. Speaking of golf, the green card is back. It's the deal of the year. I believe we're under 90 for you to play 6 of the area's best courses. One low price of $249 plus a cart. Plus a $25 Fire Maker Brewing Company gift card, all $249. That's a value of over $600. Cherokee Run, Bear's Best, Heritage Golf Links, Collins Hill, Sequoia National, Wolf Creek as well.
Ooh.
The place to go is 680thefan.com right now. Because once they're gone, you're going to be howling on your own, man. Howling in anger and frustration.
May I?
Because once they're gone, they're gone.
May I? Hey, here's what I'm going to tell you today. Don't be a stupid elf. Go get your green card.
Indeed. It's that simple. Chuck and Chernoff going to join us next. How much do you have to dump on the table today to end the week?
A couple of things.
All right, we'll get that out of the way as well as we wrap up a Friday, wrap up the week, in fact, here on Cellini and Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Who does number two work for?
156, wrapping up the week here on Cellini and Domino. It's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Domino, get some stuff off your chest. Chuck and Chernoff are here as well.
First thing, thank God it's over. Our long national nightmare. I love Jeopardy. I watch it every night. Tape it every night. They had this Jeopardy Invitational Tournament that's been on since July. Like, no new people, no new anything. One of the things about Jeopardy is, truly, it's like finding somebody new who wins. You go, hey, look at that person, they won.
You want the new blood, sure.
Right. This thing wouldn't end.
Yeah.
They had, like, all these fake, phony sort of brackets. Part of it was the writer's strike, I think. And then whatever. Good. Just let's get back to somebody from Oregon and somebody from New Jersey and somebody from Texas trying to be a first-time Jeopardy champion.
How else are we going
to
find Cliff Clavin if we're not going to have new contestants on there?
Right.
Everybody can. We can have a rocket scientist and a neurophysicist. I need a mailman.
We need a new batch of whoever might annoy
exactly
me
right.
that they're in the next Jeopardy. And it was called an invitational tournament.
Is Jennings running it all now, or is Mayim Bialik still there?
No, it's all Jennings.
Yeah, I thought she was done.
Yeah, I think it's all him. All right, here's two pieces of sound. This is Gino Auriemma. And again, I know that he has sort of thrown this sentiment around. But I do think you probably want to hear this in today's day and age.
The average coach out there, though, who's not where I am, you can't do your job anymore. And people can say you got to change with the times. How does changing with the times help you have better relationships with your players when it's all transactional now? So what kind of relationship can you have with somebody that is telling you, I might be here one, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, or I might be at four schools in 4 years? And this has nothing to do with the money. Forget the money part. This is about the ability that they can, you can just walk out anytime you want. How do you coach in an environment where the players feel like they owe you nothing and you owe them everything? What kind of relationship can you have?
So, why are you laughing?
I just think it's so funny that they've lost all control and they don't know how to react to it. It's a lifetime of having all the control and not having any of it.
He's in total control there.
The coach and the adult in the room is supposed to be in charge of the kids. Like, it's not like finally the tables have turned and
they're not kids
equal.
Anymore. Well, I'm not calling them kids anymore.
But the coach should always, it's his team, right? He's making the decisions. So, I mean, there is a hierarchy.
It's supposed to be that way.
He's in control
Times
there.
Times have changed, boys.
Okay. But here's what's going to happen, though. Here's how I think this is really going to manifest itself. You're going to have less high school seniors, incoming freshmen get scholarships. You just are. Because these guys are now living in the world where...
Absolutely true.
I'd rather go get a junior who could only leave me once, as opposed to a guy who I could work, give him the plate, give him the training, and he could leave me, you know, sooner before he's a finished product.
Without even that transfer thing, I can get a 21-year-old who played 3 years at Colorado State or a 5-star 18-year-old kid. I'm taking the grown man every last time.
Look, I want a chaos. I got it. The only thing I'm telling you is one of the downsides is going to be if you have a senior who you're hoping gets a scholarship, there are going to be less scholarships available. There just are. Because I don't think a lot of these guys are going to fringy type players. A lot of them who could and should be on scholarship playing college basketball anymore. They're going to go take a 21-year-old someplace else.
Yep.
All right, last one. This is the second clip. So the first clip, Paul George is talking about being a young player, doesn't make a lot of money yet. He's on Team USA. They're out one night because they have a couple of days off. They go to a club, and these three guys who are on their rookie deals, do you know what a bottle of Ace is? It's a really expensive bottle. So they make them in a couple of sizes. Well, they're going to get one small one because that's what it's what they can afford and what they're going to be happy with. Listen to how the rest of the story goes.
Nervous as hell as these bottles coming out. Next thing you know, we get a tug from behind. Turn around, it's Kobe. Hey, man, y'all enjoy the night. And he just walks out. And so the girl comes like, yeah, Kobe took care of it. We didn't charge you guys. Kobe got these bottles.
You remember how much it was?
Yeah. It'd be about 30.
Oof. After that, you can relax a little bit.
Yeah,
yourself.
Bro, I had a night. I had a night after that.
It's a world we'll never understand.
Kobe bought $30,000 to $40,000 of these three big Ace bottles from Paul George and a couple of guys. They ordered the small one, and they were like thinking, I can't even believe we're doing this. Do you believe we're spending this much money on a bottle? Then Kobe picked up the tab at $12,500 each for three of them. So that's a little different. Like, you think every NBA guy is just out there to spend his own money, and you go, it's kind of nice when somebody spends their money on you.
Kobe also had perspective. Like, he grew up in the home of a guy. He didn't make, like, Dr. J money, but his dad made money. And so he already understood the lifestyle. So it wasn't like he was overreacting, oh, I never had anything, and now I'm just blowing all my money. Kobe understood what that relationship thing was.
Kobe saw the small bottle going over to their table, and he just said, no, you guys... You guys probably should have a little bit
that's
better
right,
than that.
You, every now and then you go to Goldberg's and you buy breakfast for everybody. You know?
Bagels for everyone.
Right. It's all relative.
Schmear for the table.
That's exactly
pay
right.
It forward. You're good that way.
But think of again, it's all relative. Domino buying that $40 dinner right. or that $40 breakfast is similar to Kobe going $12,000 out of that's pocket.
It is kind of nice.
It's a little bit different.
Right. It is kind of nice. And you've experienced it. I think you guys have experienced it. I'll say this about a couple of guys, Chipper in particular. I don't think I've ever picked up a bill. When that guy said, hey.
He's very sneaky about it, too. I was out a couple of times with him, and he pays the bill.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't make a big deal out of
it. Certain guys
who do. Next thing you know, the bill's taken care of.
I think we went Dutch.
Did you?
I don't remember.
Much like Brent Key, he has a favorite.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It is funny, though. You get desensitized, you know, being around Chipper like we all have been for so many years. And you see people that aren't used to being around a guy like Chipper, and you could just see it in their eyes. They're trying to figure out how to come up and break the ice so they can get a picture or an autograph.
The celebrity is just something that, I mean, maybe we are, use a good word, desensitized. Because you realize we're all full of crap no matter what we do. You can hit a baseball, you can shoot a three, or you can sack a quarterback. We're all full of crap. But if you're not around it, it is, you see the creeping kind of a little closer.
Do you remember that first time you went into the locker room? You know, it was kind of similar for the both of us.
Oh, my God.
In our hometown. And all of a sudden, you grew up rooting for these guys, and they're looking at you like you're the enemy. It's a weird feeling.
How about this, though? I'm 20, and I'm going into a Braves clubhouse that has Maddox, who's a ball buster, found that out quick. Glavin, Smoltz, Chipper, Andrew, Bobby Cox, and like Hall of Famer after. And I'm like, I didn't want to like make a misstep.
I think it's so cool that Chipper's been out of the game how many years now?
10, 11.
Okay. They're still as 10. Game night, you see young, you see older, you see really old. Chipper Jones, the t-shirt jersey to the real one. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think people, you know, respect shows respect.
I also like, it's interesting the way certain guys handle stuff. I've talked before, I don't know why I was at a dinner with Reggie White, but I was at a dinner with Reggie White, and this was in Charlotte, to watch the people, he's eating a steak.
Right.
Right? And he's trying to be polite the first couple of times people come up, and it's like, I'm eating. I mean, people do not stop as the man is eating a meal because they want an autograph and a picture.
People don't think it's the celebrity. Again, I'm just going to tell you that when somebody says, if I start with you, everybody else is going to come over, and the minute I say, I've got to go, you're with your family, you're a bad guy.
Absolutely.
The only guy, Charles, and we've all been around Charles Barkley when he's been out, he's the only guy that doesn't bother him at all.
He's a magnet.
Not in the least does it bother him.
Yeah, he handles it beautifully, which you know through his career there had to be points maybe when he was playing.
Yeah.
He did throw a guy through a window where he's been frustrated at times.
Well, what did
things.
That guy do, though? That's the question. Yeah. I mean, I'll counter with that.
By the way, he didn't throw him into a brick wall. At least the guy ended up on the other side.
That is very true.
I mean, but that throws somebody through something.
That level of fame is something very few people can understand. Like, if you're Charles, you can't go to the QT without 50 people recognize you in and out of the door.
And then again, like we said, Kobe just, you know, spending $35,000. It's nothing.
No.
We'll never understand that.
Write it off. It's a business expense.
But even though you have money to still spend $35,000 to just make their night, it's the price of it, no doubt about it. But when you see these guys giddy, and he's like, you know what? These guys can have a better time than that.
It's the statesman's thing.
Yeah. Not to pay it forward because it's booze.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to do it. Like, it's the major leaguers on a rehab assignment going to the minor league camp and buying everybody, you know, dinner. Full pregame dinner, right?
That was it. It was a stereo. Somebody got
stereos. That was
stereo,
the big one first. That was
and
the big
then
one first.
You got Longhorn tonight, not Deli.
Yep. TV. Guys have done that.
Guys will tell that story for 20 years of what you did and how you paid for it. Now, the other part of it, we have to admit, like, what's the number? Isn't it still something like 75 or 80% of athletes all go broke?
Yes. Especially in the NFL.
Kobe's different because the endless revenue that he could make, but I would imagine if guys are spending like that, it went very quickly.
Speaking of the NFL, OJ, I'm sure, went broke and tried to make some of that money back. He passes away yesterday. I know you guys talked about it yesterday. You were producing when he came on with us, and we talked about it earlier. I think you were.
I might have been gone.
It wasn't Matt Egger.
Yeah, it might have been good. Because I remember listening to it on the radio, like with my jaw dropped open of not only your interview with him, but the very few. And we're going to play some audio today where, I mean, sociopathic people can tell stories the way they want to spin it in their mind and the way it's happening.
Because in his mind, and again, there are people out there that believe he's innocent, and that's another debate for another time. I think everybody in this room thinks he's guilty. You don't want to speak for everybody.
No.
But he's convinced himself that he didn't do it. That's how I feel.
That's what a sociopath does.
One of the reasons that you don't want to do it a lot is because if you've told a lie and you have to keep telling a story, you're going to trip up at some point. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a fact wrong, and there are people waiting to jump on that fact. You're better off. I hate to say this, but you're better off for a guy like that. You laugh it off when somebody asks, and you do the things. Because if you start doing the story over and over again, As clean as you think it might sound, the minute you get one detail different, people are going to say, oh, wait, there it is. Now the opening.
I was thinking yesterday about the two words that we usually throw on this now because we don't even call out OJ sometimes. People like that. It's complicated. And then I saw a headline, The Complicated Legacy for the Buffalo Bills. I'm like, what's complicated about it? Like, if he was Barry Sanders and literally 99% of what we know about Barry Sanders was just yards and points, then we evaluate Barry Sanders that way, and now he's kind of funny on the Heisman commercials. OJ, it was yards and points, and then it was the entertainer, and then we found out something that's so bad that none of that previous ish matters in the least. This is not complicated. It's not problematic.
Unless you're
it's not
Bell.
Celebrate him? You don't celebrate him.
But what I was, and this is now 30 years since the slow speed chase, and since he was charged, that if you guys remember what surrounded the slow speed chase, people were on overpasses when they got verbal word that, hey, OJ's doing a slow speed change. Imagine it today, like with the viral opportunities of what that thing would have looked like, that OJ was supposed to turn himself in. For people who don't know, he was supposed to turn himself in on that whatever day that afternoon was.
Friday.
And instead, he's in this slow speed chase, and we've heard all these stories if he wanted to listen to the end of the game as the Rockets were playing the Knicks. He wanted to go to his mom's house. He wanted to get to his house. And the authorities let him go on that slow speed chase, and people are cheering him on overpasses in a time where there was no way other than word of mouth to tell people what was going on.
Would have been 10 times the amount of people.
10? I think even more.
Probably more.
Because people want to be in the middle of a scene?
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell said, RIP OJ, he knew how to run that damn ball. Ion, I-O-N. I don't care about none of the other BS.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you can't argue with that.
Thanksgiving against the Lions, that was special.
You can't argue with crazy. Yeah. And I said this about the Steelers. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, very productive players. And the Steelers said, thanks, but no thanks. So the Steelers, if they let anybody go that's productive, you may want to think twice before signing that person. Case in point.
I always find it funny when people like to argue with irrational people.
Yeah, you can't argue with
them. Why would you? I mean, Le'Veon, and I saw these people on social media going after him. He's irrational.
I see Buffalo didn't have, there's no acknowledgement on the Buffalo Bills official Twitter. Like there was.
No, but the Heisman Trophy did. The trophy itself has a Twitter account.
They did. USC did.
They mourn him.
The President of the United States, the Speaker. I mean, like, oh, you had statements going everywhere.
Two Heisman trophies. OJ, the one got stolen, and the guy sold it for a used car. And then they gave him a second one because that one got stolen, and that one the Goldmans took. So two Heisman trophies.
And OJ they got auctioned.
Lost.
He got 30 more years than Nicole and Ron. I mean, that's the biggest gut punch ever, that guy got 3 decades more than they did.
It changed me. I don't know. I asked Nick. There might have been a box before that on your TV screen. There probably was. But it changed the way that things are covered. It changed.
Because you had the NBA Finals. You had the two boxes for the first time that I remember.
I don't remember.
Live things were
it's
going
a picture
on.
In picture, essentially, to give you the NBA Finals game, five or whatever it was, and then chase.
Yep. But we do that now with commercials.
Sure.
Because the idea of, we have the technology to do it. The other part is it changed the way that I think the crime drama shows. That docuseries was before The Last Dance. Mm-hmm. And I think people found out there's gold in them there hills when you put on Netflix these, did they or didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is based upon they realized that this is salacious cells, now murder cells. It used to be sex, right? It was sex cells.
Yeah,
let's figure out a way.
Now,
the murder
sure.
has become a business.
But let's be honest, too. It built Court TV. Like, Court TV was built off the fact that they covered every minute on every network and it outdrew soap operas, which was not a typical thing. And then what happened after the day in court, at night, you'd have 30-minute, an hour recaps, like it was a game.
Well, remember, remember the hostage crisis was Ted Koppel, Nightline.
Mm-hmm. 11:30 after the local news, you're right.
And it became an every night thing.
It did.
Because of the hostage situation. So there are, I told you, I think in the 20th century, there's probably 6 or 7 moments that are media moments where media has changed forever.
Well, and this was culturally one of the biggest things we've ever seen. I don't know if anything will top it. That it went from this beloved, he's in comedies and running through airports, and he's a sideline guy who asked his wife to marry him on live TV, and then he's the central figure in a double murder? You can't make that up.
And then the chase. I just remember when he got to the house, everybody was wondering what was going to happen.
His son comes out yelling. Al Cowens is driving. Yep. Well, I will say this about Al Cowens. He could have made a lot of money over the years. Now, with OJ gone, I don't know if he plans on doing it. Never has a guy disappeared. This is the Marvin Hagler.
Mm-hmm.
This is the I'm really retired. I am not in. I'm not in the OJ business.
Because he was
and
OJ.
He never got in it.
He started calling himself AC.
AC. Wait, in the car, that was part of the remember the call?
You know who this
out.
Is? This it's is AC. AC. Why am I supposed to know who you are?
Then on top of it, now Callings is talking to different people through the years, and where I said he had told people OJ wanted to hear the end of the NBA Finals game. That's why they were going so slow till he got to his house. Like, we think he's got the gun, and he's about to end it. He's like, turn the radio up.
Do you think...
The mustache and the glasses.
Do you think we hear from Al Collins? Al Collins? I don't know if he said does or says anything.
And I don't know mentally where... Yeah, you know, I don't know. With CTE and everything else. He played football for years. I don't know where he is mentally.
Here's the other part of this, guys. Think about what spawns off from that. The whole Kardashian fame is built off Robert Kardashian's ex-wife, who now... has these kids who were assistants to celebrities become the most famous reality show family ever.
Somebody on our social media said, if he really had done himself in that night, do we even know Kardashian? Do
you
we
might
even
not.
Know the name? You might not.
Because he removed Robert Shapiro from the first chair to put Cochran in there. Mm-hmm. And there was a point where it was understood that Robert Kardashian kind of had an idea that he was defending a guilty man and wanted nothing to do with it and pulled back. Like, that's how uncomfortable he was sitting there on that dream team.
Now, we had... Christopher Darden and Marcia Clark?
Yeah, Marcia Clark.
God, they butchered this. Why
do I not remember
Darden,
these things?
Darden went and found his own office. We had him on. And Marcia Clark, she was on TV, right?
They both
Did she have a show?
They both got shows.
Okay. We had her on because of the show. We had. Do you remember Darden? Darden was on because
Darden.
He had started his own law practice. Like, it was a franchise law
practice.
But
he got a TV show. They both made a ton of money off failing in the biggest moment of their life.
Lance Ito, I mean, the judge was there was a stage act, the Dancing Itos.
Well, that was on The Tonight Show.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
created that on Leno.
Yeah.
Which the only one who would not have fun with this, I don't know if you guys remember this, you know, Letterman would not do any OJ stuff. He's like, I'm not making fun of it. I'm not doing it. Leno would do it every night, and he reaped big rewards with the ratings. Letterman wouldn't even touch it.
I told the story about John Feinstein this morning. We don't have to go into it again, but John Feinstein was supposed to be on the day we had OJ.
Not with us, but on the show that was on after us. And then he said, I can't go on with a station that would talk
give
to
OJ. Give OJ radio time.
I forgot that.
But he screamed at Matt Edgar, and I called John Feinstein. I said, hey, let me explain something to you. Where you pick up your check the 1st and the 15th, ESPN, he was working for ESPN. I said, how much OJ stuff have they done? I said, you're okay walking in as long as they're paying you. And he pimped books. He said he'd never be on with us. How did I show you about 3 emails after that?
Yeah.
When he had a book coming out. Hey, Chris, love to be on the show. I'm not kidding.
You just keep moving forward, man. Yeah. That's the way of the media.
He screamed at Matt. He told Matt Edgar I would never be on a station. And I called him that afternoon. Right. And I said, you work for ESPN. Are you kidding me? You work for a company that is doing this as much, if not more, than anybody else. Mm. So how about you get off the horse for a second here?
Domino keeps receipts.
He does. I mean, my goodness.
He was on the banned list, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. That's right.
We were like Mocha Joe before there was a Mocha Joe on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So, Reggie Jackson was on the list. Who else was on there?
John Feinstein was. We had a few people.
God. Jim Lampley was on.
Jim Lampley was on
Lampley
there.
Do?
I'll tell you why. He won. I'll tell you exactly.
What was?
I'll tell you exactly what he did.
I know there was a story, and he kept saying my piece, Miami.
You
know, a bunch of producers do work on that.
That was the point. He had a whole bunch of people who were doing the boxing thing, and then he did something, won an Emmy, and he kept saying, you know, on my piece, my show. And I was like, whoa, he's banned.
Lamps.
He's out.
Gone. Okay.
What you think he was in the
room?
You think he was in the editing room putting that thing together?
I wish you guys would have written down the whole list. I want to see.
I wish we would have kept track of a lot of things.
Charlie Steiner.
Steiner was on the ban list?
Well, Charlie Steiner. No,
he just didn't like him for some reason. Then we met at Radio Row, and it kind of turned the other way.
But we told him on the
Charlie
air.
Charlie kept going back to, now, I still don't understand why you don't like him.
He's pretty harmless. Yeah.
That's what he was trying to say. No, what did I do?
He didn't do anything except he existed. So I said, that guy's never coming on.
And then he came on.
And then we talked to him. I said, he's like, but why was I on the list? I said, Charlie, it's not math. It's not science. You just were. Right.
Then we started talking about other things. He would go, wait a minute. So I still don't understand.
Because he had never been treated like that anywhere. Nobody cared about him that much.
Never.
But this is very Howard Stern-esque as you soften in your older years that you're like, oh, I'm not going to be angry at Rosie O'Donnell anymore.
Right.
Called her fat face and did all these things. And all of a sudden now
they're... big thing of jelly beans that was her head.
Right.
So you had to guess how many jelly beans.
Oh, my goodness.
Now they're working together at charities.
Well, maybe he's in the pay it forward part of his career as well, like me.
Maybe. When you make that kind of money, you don't really... There's no reason to be angry. You might have a reason to still be angry.
How was Offset, by the way?
It was... look, in terms of entertainment value, fine.
Did you go to the show?
I did.
You went with the kids to the show.
Yeah. Yes. I was off to the side. I didn't stand with my daughter.
You were offset.
Yeah. I went to the side.
I saw
some people that I knew. I saw a couple of cops from Cobb County.
Did you get to meet offset? Do you have any interaction?
Why don't you just put on like a blue jacket instead of vent on the back?
Do you want to know the story?
Do I call you off? Do I call you set?
You want to know? This is the story. I'm going to tell you guys now. Don't tell anybody.
All right.
So I know somebody who is very close with him. He works with him. So originally, my daughter and her friend were going to go get to see him before he went on. And then a couple of things were happening around the show. Didn't happen. I get a text at 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, man, want to come out? It's like, no, I don't want to come out. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Hmm. Like, that would have been the time to maybe bring my daughter and a friend to come meet him the other night.
Yeah, I would have seen that text in the morning.
Yeah, well, I'm happy that I saw it.
I know.
But, yeah, so that was
until about 7:30.
So I was invited. I was honored at my age that somebody would think at 1 o'clock in the morning I might want to go out. I would leave my house.
Okay, here's the funny thing. I'm walking by the Roxy the other night on the way out after our show, and the line is filling up, and the smell of weed is just overwhelming. Yeah. And as I'm walking by on the loudspeaker, you hear, the Roxy has a zero-tolerance drug policy. I'm like, well, guess what you have tonight? Because, yeah. I mean, it smelled like the $600 in high school.
I always know when there's a big show, you smell that, and then when you take the stairs in the orange deck, you smell the pee.
There's a lot of urine.
Yeah.
I think urine is a sporting event. I think the weed is a concert event.
I don't know. It was.
I don't think it was this time around. So I drove my daughter and her friend home, and I did think in the car. I said, if we get pulled over, they're going to ask to search this car.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They're going to ask to search this car. There's, and rightfully so.
Chris isn't coming in today. He got busted for marijuana possession.
By the way, do you know how cool that would make you? Forget about being in trouble.
Oh, like, you get street cred.
Yeah, 100%. You get busted. Now, how much do you think he's holding, though? That's the question. Chuck, what's a lot? How many ounces?
No, you just tell them, you have them both sit in the back and say, look, they called me. I came to pick them up. They're not driving. They would let you pass right home.
I don't know, man. I smell like weed. I was in the show.
But you went and picked up your daughters who were at the show. They both have to be sitting in the back seat, though.
Did you fight the urge to go through a drive-thru? Maybe you had a contact high of some sort?
Taco Bell?
I don't need weed to have to fight the urge. I just live. This is my everyday. I fight the urge.
You've had quite the week. You're sliding into people's DMs. You're going to see Offset. I mean, what a week for this guy.
I saw the little Rutledge interaction. But that wasn't DMs. That was publicly.
She followed me. So I sent her just saying, hey, we'd love to. I wasn't kidding. We'd like to have her on.
Got baseball with her?
What's that?
Got baseball with her?
Maybe. I don't know.
Not breakfast for dinner. Her husband was a former Rocky, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, she married, was it Josh Rutledge?
I don't know that.
Yeah, she married a Rocky, I think.
How about that?
Interesting.
So a hot woman in the media married an athlete?
Oh, I think she was Miss Florida, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I did like, I'm telling you, I watched
yesterday.
I
feel like a third wheel during this conversation.
I did watch yesterday. She was really good. I'm not kidding. There were certain people who were very good. Like, you've made the right choice for that job. Because anybody at Augusta, so now I'll say it. I'll be the jerk again. Mm-hmm. Jeff Darlington is terrible.
Oh, really?
But I'm going to tell you why. Because he's trying to be Tom Rinaldi, and I think he's playing pregnant pause guy, and I think he's trying to, you know, bring this thing that I look at Darlington, and I think he's more of an information guy.
He's trying to add drama to it.
Now I think he's trying to play TV.
Is Tom Rinaldi somebody you want to be like?
He built a nice little lane for
himself. How does it feel
You don't think ESPN said, we need another Rinaldi?
Rinaldi type.
Yeah, we need another Rinaldi. And I think Jeff Darlington, who I can watch on NFL stuff, I just think he was trying to play TV yesterday as opposed to Laura Rutledge, who just did a really good job.
Oh, no, I had her on at SEC Media Days about 5 years ago, maybe. And, I mean, this whole thing, like I said, Miss Florida, I'm sure people who have the volume down think that's why she's on TV. She knows SEC football. She's good.
She was good yesterday.
And hopefully she'll be on the show next week.
I think
and
that's
I'll
what's
sit
happening.
Back and have a sandwich while you talk. Today's the 12th
like
of April. No, I do like her. I just don't want to impede on your time.
This is not a...
It feels like it's your sports date.
I didn't swipe left.
Who's she talking about? Is she not... Who's she? What sport is she commenting on now?
She's at Augusta.
Okay.
She's hosting the Augusta.
Like years ago, we in your radio ESPN. World, Leslie Visser used to love you. Hi, Chris. Hi, Vince's brother. Chris! Start hugging you and kissing you and everything else.
Mrs. Tagliabue.
You want me to leave?
Mrs. Tagliabue and Phyllis George.
You've moved on from that.
Phyllis George?
Not that I remember
Wow.
Like it was yesterday.
Phyllis George met my wife, and And Phyllis George even made a comment to my wife. There's something about him.
Mm-hmm. I
third grade me is jealous.
I must tell you, for the life of me, I don't understand. You bring nothing to the table. And these women love you. Nothing. Not a thing.
What a backhanded insult.
No, that's not even. That's a frontal assault.
I'll never understand it.
It's a frontal assault.
It could be the biggest mystery of all
time.
You've
said it. You've cracked this code along. He comes across as harmless.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
You've said that. That's 100%.
This is not like Oak Island. We found the answer.
He's disengaging.
That's correct. Just people fall into that trap all the time. Anyway, today is the 12th of April. Let's mention a couple of things right quick as we go back in time to end the week. 1954 on this date, Bill Haley and the Comets record this song.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Rock around the clock. 5, 6, 7,
a lot of people say it's the beginning of rock and roll, yeah. But it really was the beginning of commercial white people rock.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, Rocket 88 or some before them.
Now, their follow-up to this was Shake, Rattle, and Roll, which Joe Turner, an African-American, did perform. So, to your point,
yeah,
exactly what happened.
South Gwinnett Comets, named after Bill Haley and the Comets.
How about that? Let's learn something today.
Yeah. I did. 1969 on this date, Simon and Garfunkel released the song The Boxer. Nice pick-me-up. This song's very annoying. A lot of their stuff I find to be annoying. Wow, this should be one of them.
I think this just
lie.
Instead of being gripey, Garfield ought to just send him a thank you note.
Just remember now, without Simon and Garfunkel together, it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
Mm. I think they needed each other.
So you're saying this compared to, you know, let's just say the Beach Boys or the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
Helter Skelter. This is
now.
This
careful.
Doesn't show talent.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you something. Helter Skelter is considered the first true heavy metal song.
Okay, I'm not asking that.
So
from a talent,
so maybe you want to use another example.
From a talent point of view, you don't find these two as talented.
Check yourself.
No, it's not that I don't find them talented.
All right.
Just after a while, it just wears on you. That's all. But again,
as opposed to the Beach Boys, get around. That's not annoying or anything.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's not annoying, right? It isn't.
Look what you're doing. I'll just
ask you a question. Who's been more influential in changing rock and roll? This guy, Paul Simon, or Brian Wilson when it comes to production and everything else?
This guy.
Just asking. Me and Julio down by the schoolyard didn't do it for you.
Just asking.
No, but Brian Wilson.
Is there
going to
be a Disney Plus documentary on Paul Simon? Because I don't see one coming.
Here we go.
But that's the Beach Boys who are annoying. It's amazing you're jumping back on the side of the Beach Boys when everybody else around them. But everybody else around Brian Wilson, his father, Mike Love, they're all annoying.
Yeah, because
you even admit it. They're all annoying.
Yeah, they didn't understand his genius. They drove the guy to madness. Did you see him at the Lakers game the other night? Getting pushed around in a wheelchair.
I guess we're not going to interview him, huh?
It's kind of how it ends for most of us. I mean, that's what it's going to be. I mean, you one day, you'll be pushed around in a wheelchair at a Hawks game.
I will not.
So, all right.
Yeah, who's going to push him?
Yeah. Oh, that's a fair question. I think Nico would.
Not a chance.
Not a good day, Tyler might.
Are you crazy? They get all the way home and they're like, wait a minute, where's dad?
No.
Are you crazy?
Nico, you've driven him to all these baseball games. He's coaching him.
Maybe somewhere down the line he'll appreciate it. Right now he's about to be 15.
He doesn't understand it now.
James Brown, 1990 on this date, moves to a work release center after serving 15 months of a 6-year sentence for weapon and drug related convictions. Now that was the chase, right? Didn't he lead police on a much faster car chase?
It was the original chase.
He had a few.
It was the original chase.
Tortured a good word to use for James Brown?
Bad businessman, maybe.
Separate of that. I mean, the drugs and
I mean, that guy, you name it, he did it.
Well, I think there was a moment when you're drug-addled and you have a little bit and you look and you see your bank account has negative numbers in it.
Ugh.
I think you might be driven to do a few things you might not normally do if you had money and weren't on
drugs. He and Vince Dooley were boys. Like, legit friends. Did you know that?
No, do you think Vince visited him at any point during his 15-month stint?
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, that'd be interesting.
What would that sound like if Vince was to visit James Brown in jail?
James, how you doing? I haven't done Vince Dooley in so long.
Oh, he's friends with him. He call him Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
JB.
Can I bring you in a sandwich or something from Barbara?
Or from... You need anything from Kroger.
You need anything from Kroger. I should get you some prescriptions.
No, you didn't need that.
That's what got him.
Yeah.
Just make sure you have the actual prescriptions from Kroger.
It's a very strong Vince.
It's nothing on the black market. Anywho, Gilbert Gottfried passed away on this date in 2022.
Never funny.
This might sound nuts, but
This isn't promoting MTV.
Everyone's favorite music. Do you actually expect people to turn on a TV to hear their favorite music? And they said, look, just give me a shot. Just give me a shot, please. And they said, everyone's favorite music? Well, that's a crazy idea, but that just might work. We'll give it a try.
So I want you to know something about you. This is the day that the Russians sent a man into space, first man into space. Right. FDR dies on this day.
Sure.
You hunted right for the Gilbert Gottfried sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And the Paul Simon stuff so you can crap on him just a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Sure, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, very accurate. Right,
this is when you know have a case.
Across the board, all accurate statements.
For the first time ever, he did skip the Beatles on the list.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know what you like?
Oh, you got Helter Skelter in, though.
You know, I did.
Well, I think I did that. I think I did.
Could anybody have done the Gilbert Gottfried act, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's not a discernible talent.
I'm thinking I have one thing in my hand, and then in my other hand, there's nothing. Remember, he's trying to bribe Eddie Murphy and Beverly Hills Cop. Don't look at this hand. Look at the other hand.
He hosted USA Up All Night for a minute. Yeah. I mean, showed up in Look Who's Talking.
We're not even doing the rest in peace thing, huh?
I mean,
rest in peace.
Yeah, I guess. Right. When did he die?
He passed away a couple of years ago.
Thank you for service.
Brandon Urie, lead singer for Panic! At the disco.
Vegas, they kept playing the song that came over here at Hard Rock. For some reason, this was on a loop.
I know why. Darn door.
They wanted you to lose your mind and not think about being.
Well, we're losing our minds. We're losing our money.
Yeah, but that's part of the plan.
Have you ever heard of closing the door?
It's like Guantanamo Bay. They're trying to get you off your game so you lose more money.
So that was also the trip where your buddy Ray, on a Sunday, while Hard Rock is doing what they used to have rehab outside.
Rehab, yeah.
So we're inside playing blackjack. And a girl comes in bikini. She had just come in from outside. She's toasted. And Ray starts giving her money to gamble with. I've never seen anything like this. At one point, she's splitting 20s. She's hitting on 18s. I've never seen a pit boss.
Is this after I left?
He might have gotten on a plane Sunday morning.
I think I was gone.
We're sitting inside.
I would have remembered
this. He keeps giving her money, and the pit boss keeps watching this girl hitting 18s.
He doesn't interact properly with women.
I mean, Ray's a great guy, but
when he's got a few pops in him, too, he doesn't know what's going on either.
I mean, I had to get up and leave.
Here's $200. All right, Ray, that's very good. Let's go. My big friend needs to be leaving now.
You can't sit at a table with somebody like that.
Ed O'Neill celebrates a birthday today, worth $65 million.
But am I invisible?
Possibly from Pluto. Let's call the police.
What for? The call costs more than the car.
Yes, and it costs more than the condom I should have used the night you were conceived.
Jeez. That must have been
married with children.
That Modern Family money must have been really good money. He's worth $65 million.
Yep.
That's a stout number.
Did he have any syndication stuff with Married with Children?
I don't.
You know, that was in such the early stages of Fox. I don't even know.
I know.
I would also say this about
that
him.
Up for the deal.
There are a few others, but somebody who's had that kind of career with those two characters, like that kind of success, that doesn't happen very often.
He was Youngstown State football player.
Yes, he was.
Had a Steelers, something or other. I'm surprised you don't talk to him.
He had a tryout with the Steelers, and Chuck Knoll said, look, I think maybe this isn't for you.
Maybe he's right, but...
$65 million. I don't think he would have had that if he played in the NFL. Yeah,
I don't think a lot of guys from the 78 draft class.
He's an outside linebacker. 78 years old, again, worth $65 million. Andy Garcia's birthday is today.
Jeez, I knew it. That's all you need, one thief and whop on the team.
What's that you say?
I said that you're a lying member of a no-good race.
It's much better than you stinking Irish pig.
Of course, from the Untouchables.
I was so conflicted during that scene.
Because you're half Irish.
Well, it was 98% to 2.
That's the inner conflict amino heads every day.
Every day.
You couldn't even enjoy it. You were just...
I was like, whoa. Wait, I am these people, sort of. But I was leaning more 98% to the Italian side.
He's worth $20 million. He's 68 years old. David Letterman's birthday, we just brought him up, is today.
I could have sued you for everything you're worth. Well, no, I didn't, because I'm not that kind of a guy.
What kind of a guy are you?
Obviously over here. We're going to pause here for station identification and get the hoses out here.
Just to find out it wasn't real.
So he was in on the whole thing, Letterman.
Yeah, Letterman knew all of it.
Right.
Which later on, I could deal with wrestling being fake more than I wanted to deal with that being fake.
Now, I can deal with something, some of the language, but throwing coffee, that you cannot do on that television.
Just an unhappy person.
Yeah.
For a guy with that kind of success, just the most, Domino, the most embarrassing yet Letterman moment of his career. He spends 15 minutes in his monologue explaining how he had sex with somebody on his staff. Then he's being extorted by her boyfriend who works for CBS News, and the audience is laughing as if he's doing a bit, and he got through it. CBS didn't fire him. He wasn't suspended. Didn't have to deal with any cancellation. None of it. I mean, explain that.
And he's unhappy, and he's worth $400 million.
He was never happy.
Worldwide Pants.
Yep.
I believe is the company.
Never happy. He wanted to Tonight Show, and that was it.
He had Michael Richards on after the whole snafu in the comedy club with Jerry Seinfeld, and people were laughing then.
I give him credit, though. He did.
Stop laughing, Jerry says. Not funny.
He had the post 9/11 thing where he came back first, handled that well.
Yep.
His triple surgery bypass when he came back and handled that well.
I believe the doctors and all the people on the staff did a top 10 list.
Yep.
I think he brought them all back who helped him.
David Cassidy would have celebrated a birthday today, but he's dead. Passed away at the age of 67 in 2017. He's one of those guys that drank himself to death, right?
Remember we had him on, too.
I don't remember.
He did a Cotter.
Oh, was it?
Yep. Okay. He was a Cardinals fan, maybe? I think he's a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
That was during my sabbatical.
Yeah, sabbatical.
One of my many.
Which one?
Oh, it was during the 4 weeks of the Big Show. Yes. It was.
Yeah. We got David Cassidy.
It was that month.
So paint that picture. You drink yourself to death. Does that mean you're boozing every day for years and years, morning till night?
No, what happened? Yeah. But what happens is everybody's body's not the same. It's like people don't get the drunk on the same amount of alcohol.
Right.
The problem is there are people who can recover. Their internal organs can recover, and there are people who can't.
Yeah.
Same amount of drink does not do the same thing to everybody.
Only worth $500,000, he
made a big comeback in Vegas. Like, he had,
Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yep. And he made money. Still getting paid pretty good money.
Can't help but move around to this song. Can't help but be in a good mood when you hear this song.
Was the big debate, it was Jan or Marsha for a second, but wasn't it really Susan Day and Marsha?
Yeah,
that was probably
should've
the same.
Should have been.
I think.
And I tell you, that's not even close. That's like, I don't know.
You're talking about a 116 seed? What are you saying?
It's not even close.
What that?
Not even close.
Okay.
Susan Day looked like a grown woman. Marsha looked like a little bitty girl in a big family.
I don't think he agrees with you.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying.
He doesn't agree with that. He went the other way.
Marsha?
Yeah.
Picture Marsha when she was about 16 or 17. I mean, not when she was like 12
Susan
or 13.
Susan Day figured out a way to look kind of...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
She looked sophisticated as a 16-year-old. Sure. That's a nice pull-off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marsha was something.
No. I'm talking about Susan Day.
I understand what I'm saying. Marsha was something.
Vince Gill's birthday is today. Worth $30 million. This is him as the lead singer for Pure Prairie League.
Right.
Easy for me to say.
Wow.
And
I like to dig deep sometimes into the musical vault.
Mr. Amy Grant?
Yeah.
They're still together, right?
Oh, yeah.
Heck, I could have played him singing at the Brian Wilson tribute, Warmth of the Sun, or Surf's Up, so at least I didn't do that.
You're right.
So is he worth 30 or are they worth 30?
I don't know. I think he's done all right for himself, right? Is he still torn with the Eagles?
He has been, yeah.
He says Henley's always been good to him.
Yeah.
I think Henley's afraid to crack his head open. That skill's a big guy.
Schmidt, Walsh, and Glenn Freiskin.
Do you remember having Vince Gill on the show?
I don't.
Because
he
was a fan of an NIA basketball team.
I think you're doing a show in your head.
I'm going to give you the incident. NAIA basketball fan. I don't remember what school it was in Tennessee, but Life College was playing them in a tournament. It was coming up, and we had Vince Gill on.
I don't remember this.
I had a chance to meet Amy Grant.
Sure wasn't Stu Klytenic?
Nope.
Pete Michael?
Could it have been Stu?
Oh, no.
I don't know. I got to look at the years.
It was you.
But Amy Grant. I
could have been
Grant,
you. I don't know.
And Amy said, Vince, he would go to these basketball games. He would just be like leaving. Mm. Go to a basketball game.
You know, if you're going to leave for something, it's the least kind of harmful thing you're going to leave for. Rock stars and musicians have disappeared. It's not going to basketball.
I don't remember what school it was. But we had Vince Gill on. We had a chance to talk about his career.
We didn't save any of these things. Like, today would have been a great day to play some of the O.J. interview.
Oh, my gosh. This would have been, like,
gone.
Oh. How long did you have? Like, an hour?
45 minutes.
He got disconnected and called back?
Us back, yeah.
That's the craziest
part. Thought he hung up on us.
Right. He called back.
No.
Because he was a glutton, because he was a sociopath.
Wanted the attention.
And to think that Mills Lane never called us back, Tom Osborne never called us back,
Joe
Bob
Gibbs.
Knight never called us back, Joe Gibbs
you
never
didn't
called
find
us back.
Out till 15 years later that Johnny Bench hung up on the show.
That's true.
Because Gavin from South Africa, little intern, answered the phone. Bench? What kind of name is Bench? This guy's lying to me.
Don't ever call here again from South Africa.
But the beauty was you could hear the hang-up sound back in that day.
Yeah.
We can't do it now. Now you wouldn't even know if it would just go done. Bummer.
Worst thing about cell phones, you can't slam the phone down on anybody.
I said somebody should invent an app where you have an ability to hit the app and you let somebody know emphatically I've heard enough.
I think we'll end it with this. Want to thank Brent Key and Charlie Reimer for joining us today.
Colin, I want to thank two things. I want to thank Charlie Reimer for inviting us out to Augusta to play around. Yeah. And I want to thank Brent Key for inviting us to Ireland.
I think the Ireland invite was there. I don't know about us going to Augusta. I think that was Macklemore, his course in Tennessee.
It did not bother me.
That he invited
us. I was understanding the locker room's going to.
I left it alone. Well,
Domino stirred it up with Brent Key. And Brent Key went, he said, on the record, you're the show I prefer to go to Ireland.
You're going
to
make the list, then.
That's what Brent Key said. I didn't say anything. Okay. Brent Key said that.
The only reason I brought it up is the morning show just kept saying, oh, I guess we're going to go because Joe's going. I was like, no, Joe's going because Joe's going.
He's working the game.
I said, how about, because Brent did say Joe has to go, I said, how about if we go and it's me and Joe and Chris and we do mornings? He said that would work.
Then we found out something about, like, it's 2 days later in Ireland.
No, it's not 2 days later. It's like there's a 5-hour difference. Right. So mornings would be lunchtime there.
That's actually perfect.
So we can go to the pub, have a pint or two, and do the show. And then I'll tell you what I really think.
This should happen.
Well,
it did not bother me.
There's a lot of red tape because I think some people are going to be angry in the morning. Cullen Mann, Brian Gebhardt, Derek Thomas, Matt Lear, the Road Dog, Adam Gillespie. Thank you all. Enjoy your weekend. We're back on Monday at 11. Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.